We have just a few announcements this morning. Just a reminder that there is no Agape meeting tomorrow night. But this week we do have senior citizens on Wednesday, as well as worship and music. And then this Thursday is Bible study at the office complex at 7 if you'd like to join us. This week, for those of you that have somebody on the prayer list, you'll be getting either an email or a text from our office administrator, John Scott. Some of the folks on the prayer list have been on there a really long time. We just want to make sure, do you still want them on the prayer list, or maybe did you forget that you put them on there? But we're going to be doing some updating to the prayer list this week, so be on the lookout for that. And then just a couple of things to have on your radar. A month from today, how is that possible? February 14th is going to be Ash Wednesday. And so just have in the back of your mind that Lent is quickly approaching. Just as we had the shortest Advent possible this year, this is the shortest season after Epiphany possible. And so not only does it seem like Lent is earlier than usual, it actually is, because Easter is on March 31st. We have one birthday this week and one baptism. Stephen Frank has his birthday this week, and Nicole Mize remembers her baptism. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, creator of darkness and light, word of truth, wind sweeping over the waters. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God, our rock and refuge, we pour out our hearts before you. We have known you, but have not always loved you. We have wounded one another and sinned against you. We have not always recognized the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us. Remember your covenant, renew your creation, restore us that we might proclaim your good news to all. Amen. The voice of the Lord is spoken upon the waters. God has spoken. The time of grace is now. In Jesus, the reign of God has come near. By the authority of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are God's beloved. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day praising you, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Nora. Good morning, Sawyer. There's Kate and Cameron. Good morning, Kate and Cameron. Good morning, Maddie. Hi, friends. You want to come sit by me? Hi, Cameron. Well, in just a minute, you all are going to get to go with Miss Kelly for a really special children's church today. She has a special book and a special activity with you. And while you're at children's church, we're all going to hear a story about Jesus, where Jesus tells some people to follow him. What do you think it means to follow somebody? Like maybe if you follow them, like mom's going to the kitchen and you follow mom to the kitchen to see what she's going to do, or dad's going to the grocery store so you follow dad to see what dad's going to do at the grocery store. Well, when Jesus tells us to follow him, Jesus means to become more like him, to do what he does and to think what he does. And you know, so often we think about that in terms of loving others and taking care of others, and that's really important. But one of the things that we sometimes forget is how Jesus took care of himself. And so I think when Jesus says, follow me, he wants us to also follow him in the ways we take care of ourselves. And so when Jesus would get tired, you know what Jesus did? Jesus took a nap. And when Jesus got hungry, what did Jesus do? He ate. And if Jesus got overwhelmed, if there were too many sounds or too many people around, you know what Jesus did? He went somewhere by himself for a little bit to calm down and to regroup. If Jesus was missing God, he prayed. And so this is just a reminder to you that if you're feeling big feelings and you need to pull back for a little bit, you can do that. That's what Jesus did. And if you're hungry, make sure you get something to eat, because that's what Jesus did. And if you're tired, it's okay to take a nap or go to bed, because that's what Jesus did. Part of following Jesus, yes, it means that we love other people, but it also means that we love ourselves and we take care of ourselves too. All right? Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Help us to follow you by loving others and by loving ourselves. Help us to take care of ourselves just like you took care of yourself. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming forward. You can go to Children's Church with Kelly.
The Old Testament lesson is from 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, Here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you call me. But he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you call me. But he said, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Word of God, word of life.
The first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph. From Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael asked him, Where did you get to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered, Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And then he said to him, Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I get started on my sermon, I just wanted to say a note of deep gratitude because it was 3 years ago on this Sunday, that was my first Sunday at Holly Grove, that I preached my first sermon. And so now that I've been through the church all 3 years, I have folders of notes that I've taken on each passage. And I got to look back at the notes I took on this and the sermon I preached. And I don't remember why, but we were all at home that Sunday. It was from Facebook Live, not just the recorded service here, but Facebook Live. All that to say, this week has been so full of so many memories and reflections of the past 3 years with you. And I feel very tender this morning as we're singing one of the songs from my ordination, as I hear Brantley singing at the top of his lungs, Kyrie eleison. I'm so grateful to be your pastor and to be with you here at Holly Grove. So thank you for a wonderful 3 years, and I look forward to many more. So the words, come and see. These words kept echoing in my mind this week as I was studying today's gospel lesson and letting Sunday's sermon percolate. Right? It has to percolate in my mind a few days before I put it on paper. Come and see. These words of invitation that Philip offers to Nathanael are the same words that were part of our invitation to communion in our Advent and Christmastide services. I know it seems like a long time ago, but see if you can remember these words. In Christ's manger and at Christ's table, come and see what God has made known for you. Come and see. These words are simple, issuing an invitation not only to see something with our eyes, but to experience something. Come and see. These words, this invitation, is at the heart of not just these verses in the Gospel of John, but throughout John's Gospel. John's story for 21 chapters is structured around encounters with Jesus. Again and again, from these first disciples to a Pharisee named Nicodemus, to the Samaritan woman at the well, to the man born blind, to Peter and Pilate and Thomas. Throughout John's gospel, people are encountered by Jesus. In John's gospel, Jesus encounters a variety of people in a variety of ways, and their responses to him, to each one, in one way or another, he says the same thing. Come and see. Come and see this new thing that God is doing. Come and see a new life and a different future open up in front of you. Come and see the love and grace of God made known and available to all. And then in response, some take up that invitation and they follow him. And yet others remain puzzled or confused, maybe indifferent, and some just simply don't believe Jesus' offer. But then there are some who not only follow Jesus, but invite others to do the same. In today's lesson, Jesus comes to Galilee and he invites Philip to follow him. Philip does, and he seeks out Nathanael to invite him to do the same by saying, come and see. These words, this invitation, is not just at the heart of John's gospel, but it's at the heart of Christian evangelism. Now, if the word evangelism makes your skin crawl or causes you to feel a little bit panicky inside, you're not alone, because I'm right there with you. Yes, me, a pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. But at its heart, evangelism, evangelical, comes from the Greek word that literally means good news. And all of us are called to share the good news of God in Jesus, in word and deed, with our lives. But what's happened over the years is that the word and concept of evangelism has been sort of taken over by some Christians to mean something else. Right? We're not called to cram our faith down other people's throats or to threaten them with hell. No. We are called to kindly and lovingly and graciously, without judgment or fear, We are called to invite others to come and see what God is doing in and through Jesus. And we're called to invite others to come and see what God is doing in this community of disciples that have chosen to follow God. Come and see. These words sound simple and non-threatening. That is, until it's time to say them. And then they don't feel so easy to say. And I don't say this to point fingers or to make anybody feel guilty, but to simply lift up the reality that most of us aren't comfortable inviting people to church. And yet that's too bad, because the key factor in influencing people to attend church for the first time is personal invitation. Over 80% of people that visit a church do so because someone has invited them to come and to see. Right? It's not the size of a church or a reputation of the church or the beautiful or simple building or even the quality of music or the amazing preaching of the pastor that calls people or draws them, right? Those things matter, but that's not what draws people. Because the first time someone comes to church, it's more likely that they're going to come because someone has personally invited them. Just like Philip said to Nathaniel, come and see. Come check this out. And that just might mean that we might need to somehow summon the courage to invite someone to come and see what we have found in this faithful community in our congregation. That we might need to summon the courage to come and get to know the God that we know and the God that we love. And so I'm going to ask for a little participation right now. I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out a piece of paper to each of you with two questions on it that I want you to consider, right? The first is, what is your favorite thing about the life we share together in this faith community, right? What is your favorite thing about the life that we share together? And then second, would you be willing to invite someone that you know to come and see and to share this aspect of our congregational life together? So they're passing this out. I invite you to take a minute or two to just think and write it down. Sometimes writing things down helps us a little bit. What is your favorite thing about the life we share in this faith community? And second, would you be willing to invite someone you know to come and to see and to experience this part of our congregational life that you enjoy? So take a minute, write some answers down. When you're done, fold it up. And when the offering plate comes around, I invite you to put this in the offering plate as one of your offerings to God. So take a minute, and then we'll close this in prayer. Thank you for participating in this way. So if you want to take a little bit more time, that is just fine. But when you're done, if you'll fold those in half and place it in the offering plate when it comes around. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, that we may see and experience your love and grace in this community of faith and in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, that we might share the love and grace of God with others. Come, Holy Spirit, that we might bear witness with our whole lives to the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessings on the church, the world, and all of creation. Encourage the ministry and mission of the church, God of truth. Let the leaders of your church all over the world be trustworthy and accountable stewards, that all its resources and outreach bring hope and healing to communities. God of grace, delight in the goodness of your creation, God of fig trees and fertile soil. Heal areas of the world harmed by human greed. Restore those recovering from natural disaster. Protect our forests and waterways and all the creatures that live in them. God of grace, call the leaders of every neighborhood and nation to serve faithfully. God of wisdom, give them visions of justice and unity. Lead them to action that promotes equitable partnership and uplifts those in the margins of society. God of grace, hold in your care any who suffer and struggle. God of compassion, be present with any who are oppressed, victims of racism, and all who long for respite, restoration, and healing, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Bonnie, Scott, Chip, Rebecca, Kara, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God of grace, give this congregation the anticipation and excitement of Samuel, so inspired and empowered to do your work in the world. God of unity, make us faithful as we build communities of inclusion and mutual care. God of grace, trust in God who raised Jesus and will also raise us in spirit and truth. We remember all who have died and are at peace among the saints, especially the Reverend Martin Luther King, whose faithful advocacy for peace and justice continues to embolden the church. We also remember before you Steve Locke, Debbie Parsons' father. God of grace,
the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Peace be with you.
Together, God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your voice endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take." Yes, that's right. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." This is the body of Christ, and this is the blood of Christ, right? That's right. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At Jesus' table, there is room for all. Come and see.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Give you thanks that
you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give yourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, proclaim the good news.